This morning, as I got up and was thinking, the Lord reminded me of the scripture in Matthew 24:14, where it says, "And the gospel, or the good news of his kingdom, must be proclaimed in every nation as a testimony to every nation, and then the end will come." And the speaking of the good news of his kingdom and the benefit that comes of being a part of his kingdom and all that comes with that. And it reminded me of the scripture from Isaiah where it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And then this scripture, "And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace." There'll be no end to the increase of his government or peace. Now, I want to separate the difference between peace and the absence of grief, or chaos and grief. I mean, there'll be things that will happen in your life that'll cause you to grieve, and that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about absolute chaos. If there is an absence of peace in your life, what does that say? "And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end." If you don't have peace in your life, what's that saying? Exactly. We are not submitted to the sovereignty of God. If there's chaos in my life, if I'm unable to sleep in the back of the boat, if my circumstances are such that I can't find peace in the midst of them, what it should indicate to me is there's some area of my life where I am not submitted to the sovereignty of God, where his sovereignty is not ruling, because it says clearly, either that or scripture's not true. But the scripture itself says of the increase, there'll be a never-ending increase of his government, and where his government is, there'll be a never-ending increase of peace. So if there is not peace, then there's probably not, or there's definitely not submission to his sovereignty. So where do I start looking? Where do I look to see where it is that I'm not submitted? I would submit to you this, that the peace of God is always attended by his good order. Now we begin with, "The head of every woman is a man, the head of every man is Christ Jesus. The head of Christ is God." The headship of Christ in our lives, in mankind's life, is the same thing as saying submission to his sovereignty. He's going to rule. Where he rules, his government exists. Where his government exists, the peace of God will attend us. But where we fail to accept his rule is where we're going to be, where we can't find peace. Once again, it doesn't mean our circumstances are good, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ was in the middle of a storm when he demonstrated the peace of God and slept through the whole thing. So it's not necessarily that you won't be without difficult circumstances, but in the midst of the difficult circumstances, you'll remain at peace. That's when we talk about the increase of peace, that's the peace we're talking about. The confession on our part is to say, "I'm not at peace and it's my own fault because I'm not submitting to the sovereignty of God." But based on this scripture, is there any other answer for the absence of peace? If his government and peace are ever increasing together, and there's not peace in my life, is there any other answer than his government? The absence of his government. Fear. But fear is not his government. fear comes from the kingdom of darkness. That's the favorite tool of the kingdom of darkness. We were having a discussion yesterday. There's two primary characteristics that affect mankind. Fear that comes out of this kingdom, or love that comes out of the kingdom of light, because God is love. Satan's favorite tool is fear. So if I'm letting fear in my life, I have submitted myself to a foreign government. I'm not submitted to the sovereignty of God.
To me, the answer is, you know, if I can say it's all my fault, I'm not walking in this, then the other side of that is, shows me how mature we are if we can say it's my fault, or if we blame it on somebody else.
Yeah.
It's all somebody else's fault that I'm going to say.
What Ronnie was saying was the difference between us taking responsibility, saying it's my fault that this thing's going on, or our tendency to want to blame it on someone else and say it's their fault. It's a sign of maturity when we can stand up and say, I'm failing to submit in this area of my life, instead of trying to blame it on someone else. Blame game is laying a responsibility somewhere else. But even in that, if I say, you know, Adam's the cause of my problem, I'm elevating him above the power of God. To think that he can overcome God and torment me in that way. So it's always stepping back to this thing of, where is the government of God in my life, and how dependent, and I'll say that in a different way, kind of what Ronnie was saying, how much do I trust God's ability to care for me in my circumstances? Fear, as Kim spoke of, comes in the absence of trust of our Father in heaven. My failure to trust God will allow fear of provision, fear of protection, loss of identity to creep into my life. And that, once again, that it goes back to that, if fear is Satan's number one tool, doubt and unbelief is his second one, to get you to doubt the sovereignty of God. But my point was this, and that's the brevity of the discussion today, is when I wake up, and if I'm overcome with my circumstances, if fear's creeping in or whatever it is, if I can't sleep in the back of that boat, so to say, if my peace is disturbed by my circumstances, the place I have to look is not at the circumstances, but at where is my submission to the sovereignty of God. Because the scriptures are saying, what it's saying right here is, his government, wherever the government of Christ is, wherever the good news of his kingdom is, there will be peace. Even in the storm, but there will be peace. As our faith matures, as our faith grows, we're able to accept circumstances under the hand of God, to know that there's nothing going on that's beyond his scope. As my faith was growing younger, my question would always be, what happened in my day today that knocked God off his throne? What happened in my world today that caught God by surprise? And of course, the truth is, there's nothing. Nothing that goes on in our world is going to catch God by surprise. And your faith in God, your and my faith in God, is that he will always rule for our benefit. So whatever's going on is going to be beneficial to us. May be painfully beneficial, may be educationally difficult, but it's for my benefit. It may even be disciplinary, because God disciplines those he loves. but ultimately it's for my benefit. So in the midst of that, I should be able to walk in peace. So my word to you is this: if you wake up and you're overwhelmed and you're walking in fear and sweat, check your doubt and unbelief. Check your submission to the sovereignty of God. Renew your faith that God is still sitting on his throne, that his Son, Jesus Christ, has atoned and reconciled you fully to your Father, that he paid the price and was the atoning sacrifice that reconciled you to God your Father, and that you are in good standing as a son of God, and that these matters that are before you, the Spirit of God will see you through. Whatever they are, he will see you through them all. And put your trust in him, not in the things of this other kingdom, not in the things of this world, not in the lust of the flesh or the pride of life, or the lust of the eye, but put your trust into the living God who will care for you. But know this: if there is an absence of peace, it's because there's an absence of his government. For where the government of God is, peace will exist. No place that the government of God is existing is there chaos. Chaos being the absence of peace. Always where the government of God is, there is peace. If there's not, if you're absent of peace, start looking at which area of your life you're failing to submit to the sovereignty of God. Okay? Comments, questions, statements. Difficult word, because it puts it back on us and our trust in God.
I think it's extra encouraging because it's not just are you choosing between a state of this thing called peace and a state of this thing called chaos. I mean, which of these do you choose? In that peace, if there's a promise of that being infinite, ever-increasing, that just the supply of it, I guess, not just that it's a thing to be grasped, but that it's moving and real and living and expanding and greater today. If you grab it today, it's greater than it was yesterday, or it has the potential to be.
Yeah.
Just the promise of that. And the same promise it made about chaos. It's made about the living.
Well, when you think of the increase of his government and his peace and his declarations to his disciples, he said, I give you peace, not the peace of this world, but peace that passes all understanding. His peace is that non-circumstantial peace. The peace of Christ, the peace of God, is the non-circumstantial. It's not the peace of the world that makes you feel good for 10 minutes and then fails you later on.
Yeah, I can turn my phone off and get peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere between Midland and Pecos, you find that peace and quiet, but it's not the eternal peace and quiet. Okay. Anybody else? Once again, if you can't find that peace, check your doubt and unbelief and your submission to the sovereignty of the living God. Okay? See y'all next week.